Yeah. I need to talk tonight. Welcome to the Mystical Mother Earth Show. By the way, though, if you were enjoying that song, that was She Brings Me Love by Bad Company.
It was a good one.
These are great songs. And what I do is I'll be listening in the forest. And, you know, for me, when I hear the term She Brings Me Love, it is literally just every song I share, whenever it's she is Mother Earth. This is not about another person. It's she is always the mystical mother, beautiful Earth. Because she really does bring me love, and she's all that I need. But there's so much to share tonight, and Goldie, it's a good thing I'm at the helm, because you know there are some days I can wait the 4 minutes and 41 seconds, and days I can't. So first and foremost, let me introduce my enchanting co-host Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Yay. Thank you, Goldie. I'm glad you're at the helm.
Thank you.
Hello, everybody. And I hear we might get a little snow tomorrow.
Yeah, I heard that as well. Did you hear a little or a lot? I just heard we might get snow. Oh, a little? Okay, cool.
I mean, we are
coming into December. I get it. But,
I know.
It's going to be an interesting winter. Yes, it's going to be an interesting winter. Okay, right off the top, what I need to do is, and what I want to do, it was either last week or the week before, I made a comment about Akta, a Mayan, a video that basically my comment was that, you know, what is this Mayan talking about? And, you know, he's using technology to ascend. In a nutshell, I really was totally off in my perception of this gentleman named Akta and the message that he was sharing, because I went to listen to it again, and when I listened to it, I realized the government with the CERN, I'm not sure where that is, I think it's Switzerland.
Where
they're playing with particles and crashing particles and looking for, you know, the zero point and the point of creation – They're actually taking a particle accelerator and focusing it on Mexico on December 21st. So what the Mexicans are doing is they're kind of, you know, I don't want to say retaliating.
I would say they're countering it.
They're countering, because when the government, whatever government it is, when the elite take this particle accelerator and focus it on their country, what it does is it creates these sinkholes.
Uh-huh.
And you know, of course, the government doesn't give a rat's ass that they're doing this to the Mexicans. They're just looking for whatever information it is that they're looking for. And the Mayans, in all their wisdom through, you know, nature, Mother Nature, and the cosmos, they've created, exactly like Janine said, a counter to this experience. And that was what the video is about. And So I just wanted to, you know, give a sincere apology that I was kind of doing a smear campaign off to this gentleman, and I was wrong, and I don't have a problem admitting that. So so feel free to. What I'll do is I have it here. I'm going to post the link in the chat room. So if you guys want to, check it out, it's here.
Yeah,
so,
I watched it, and I enjoyed it. I thought that there was, it was good and valuable, and I'm even skeptical. Like, you know, they're looking for non-matter, or antimatter.
Antimatter,
like
I think.
But
yeah.
You know, who knows?
And at the very least, choose for yourself. Hey, Dennis. You got my message. Thank you. Okay, so all right. So that was first off. I did one. Now wait, we were gonna talk. That was gonna lead us into something. Was that a segue?
Not that I remember, but
okay. Okay.
I'm sure it's a segue of some kind.
Exactly. And our next subject will be. I'll just do it a little right turn action.
Solar flare?
Well, indeed, I mean, we can definitely talk. I mean,
could be why we forgot the segue.
Well, it's so funny, man. The kids, I started a new gig tonight, a new nanny gig. What a delightful, delightful family. They literally remind me of Anya and Sahana in, they're both girls. I don't know if they're Chinese. They're Asian, so there's a sensitivity about them, and I can't even explain it. They're just magical, magical people. They're all incredibly nice and friendly and creative. And I almost forgot what I was going to say, but I just remembered. And one of the things, we're all forgetting. I mean, because she was like telling me all this information, and I went, I'm not trying to be, a pain, but can you please put that in an email? She goes, because she won't remember, and I go, literally, because she goes, I don't remember either, and I go, this is absolutely a side effect of the solar flare energy. This is not, in my humble opinion, you don't need to rush and get MRIs done or anything. it is an effect, because it's the electrical and the magnetic, and the truth of the matter is the magnetics, this is a good segue to the Dramvalo stuff. I definitely want to talk about that. The electric and the magnetics are literally what hold memory, and not just memory of us. On our credit cards, the magnetic strip, it has a memory. Cassette tapes, I don't know if you guys still remember those. They're held through magnetics. And when the magnetics get all when the solar flares hit us, it affects the magnetics, and it almost like it put blips on the screen. If you watch any of these YouTube guys that know how to read all the equipment that NASA uses, I mean, you'll see when the solar flares hit, the magnetics of the Earth, sometimes literally around the planet. They get tangled. They'll face backwards. I mean, in other words, even though it might be in the spectrum of light that we can't see, that doesn't mean things aren't happening. Things are definitely happening. So, you know, be gentle with yourself. Write things down. Put it in emails. Whatever you got to do to compensate. I mean, are you kidding? I'm working for like 3 families now. Nobody has anything basically every week. I mean, well, Aki and Mia, now I got them on Mondays. But other than that, the time fluctuates. You know, and it's so funny because at the worst time that I would imagine, you know, to have to lose my capacity to remember, I'm having the greatest time I've ever had. You know, my families are fantastic. You know, the shows are fantastic. My bouts in the woods and the forest is fantastic. My conversations with my friends are fantastic. So, you know, it's a balance, okay? So I understand it's challenging, but I also understand. So we forget. The beautiful part is this is a global experience. So if whoever you're working with, dealing with, you know, has the slightest bit of self-awareness, they get it because they're forgetting too.
yeah, and feeling it physically too. Like,
yeah.
You know, maybe some sensitivity and, you know, both vulnerable and strong at the same time. All these feelings that seem like they're the polar opposites, but they're actually not. And you brought that up with me yesterday in a conversation, but I'm thinking, you know, that's so much more apparent now to me in the last even couple weeks, where you can literally feel both of these feelings simultaneously, and they almost, if we weren't taught that they meant this or they meant that, you'd say, I think they're the same thing, but how can that be? You know, to feel vulnerable and strong and incredibly aware and yet feel sensitive and heartbroken, but like, you know, open to outcome. I mean, I've been feeling that way for a couple of days now, and it's like, wow, you know, and I've told you, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think it's the solar flares and the obviously just the timeline, but yeah, so.
Well, the fact that we had a solar flare, we had, like, to be quite honest, there was a point this weekend where there was like 3 eruptions, all 3 of them earth facing. And sometimes if we have 3 of them, what they'll do is they'll actually catch up to each other and just become one flare that hits the planet. This wasn't the case. We got one hit and one close behind is going to hit again. And I believe the second one that hit was today. We're also getting, there was one blasted off from today, so that will be coming Wednesday. And then somebody said Saturday, but I'm not quite sure why that one takes 5 days to get to us. It's just this is what they call the high activity time for the sun. And, you know, in my humble opinion, it makes total sense that there's a high activity right now, because just from my own awareness and but also through the real relative awareness of conversations I'm having with my friends, you know, we're all stepping up our game.
Yeah.
Everybody's sense of sensitivity, how redundant, it is much more sensitive. I mean, I have such a clarity that when I'm in the forest, and it was funny because I went to the forest today, because before I went to this new job, I know these kids, but, you know, very only briefly have I met them and hung out with them. And so I knew it was going to be good, but I was nervous. It's a new job. And so I went to the forest today, and, you know, I was so like, go to the forest. You need to go to the forest before you start a new job. And just within like minutes, I was so aware that not only, it doesn't just that, the trees and everything, they don't just take my my nervousness away. I drop into a space where presence simply doesn't address the worry. It just doesn't address it. The presence trumps the worry. And so now I'm just, you know, my back is against the rock and I'm looking at the trees waving in the wind and, you know, I got my blanket over me and I'm snuggly because I've got like 17 layers because it was chilly out there today. But it's like I look at the trees and I go, I really get that I can look at the trees and I am just as fascinated as if I'm watching a TV program on TV. It's, you know, because there's a level of transmission going on. It's just not so 3D. It's not so much what's seen in the forest. It's what's felt.
Yeah.
But I'm so clear that I feel it because, you know, it's 'cause I'll tell you, it reminds me of when I studied hypnosis and, you know, I worked with a master teacher. She was awesome. And when she would put me under, quote unquote, I remember going, you know, I don't feel like I'm under. And she goes, you don't lose awareness. If anything, your awareness increases. You become more aware and less thinking. Awareness is different than thinking. And I could tell when thoughts popped into my head, because they did, and they weren't worrisome, but again, you know, I was thinking somewhat about the new family, but I was thinking of it more from, you know, when they were at Anya's house and I had spent some time with them. And, you know, it's like there really is this, it's in my field. It just doesn't, I don't loop my thoughts. And it almost feels like it's impossible to loop my thoughts when I'm in the woods. I can't do it, and of course I'm not trying to do it, but what I'm noticing is that I'm not doing it, that I can think and then immediately and effortlessly go back into that, just looking at the trees and finding shapes, you know, because it's always nice, like now it's winter in the sense of the leaves are off, so everything's so fractal, you know, all the branches are so fractal, and this was another thing that was really amazing. And I believe this is happening to all of us as well. Okay, our energy field, I'll just speak for myself. Okay, two things happened. I was leaving Scott's this morning, and I was at a red light, and there was a gentleman standing at the corner, and the word stymieing, is that the right word? Is that stymieing is when they rock back and forth? Autistic people rock? Am I saying that correctly?
I'm not sure, but it sounds...
I think it's stymie or stimmy. Stimming. It's when they rock.
Okay.
Now, this gentleman was not rocking, but I could feel that he wanted to. Remember, Scott's autistic, so he stymies, so it doesn't faze me whatsoever.
Right.
But he didn't rock, but he was standing at the corner, and my gut was going, he wants to rock. And then I looked, and I went, I saw how nobody was going, and I go, oh, he hit the button. So I swear to God, very nonchalantly, I just took my finger, and I was like, yeah, go. You know, I'm pushing my finger across, going, yeah, cross. And, of course, he didn't even have to look at me. He looked right at me, and I smiled a huge smile, and I was like, it's okay to cross. You hit the button. You did it perfect. You know, go, babe. You're good. You're on.
Right.
And his reaction was, I couldn't stop. I was bawling my eyes out. He smiled, and I could tell from his body language that, you know, he's different. You know, he's different. Just by the way he walked. And the thing that I was so excited about was, of course, one, I helped him. But the thing that got me was that I could feel that in my field.
Yeah.
I mean, all this information came to me.
Yeah.
And he was about 15, 20 feet from my car. And what the second time this happened was at one point I was in the woods and I was just chilling. And all of a sudden I leaned my head completely up to look up. And right above me, about 75 feet, was a hawk, you know, riding the thermals. And it was just very poignant to me. I went, but I felt it because when I looked up, there was something, you know, nudged me to look up. And
yeah.
It was the presence of the hawk in my field. And I go, now that's 75 feet up in the air.
Yeah.
You know, like, I you get what I'm getting at?
Yeah. No. And besides the fact that it sounds like fun, you know,
totally.
I think that is a great awareness that, because I like what you said, it's almost like the information about the bird, about the man, they were just accessible to you.
Yes.
I mean, that's being in your field of awareness, which is, you know, another, to me, like, it's probably we've been doing that on some level, but to become more aware of it, to become more clear with it, to become, you know, I mean, I've noticed that.
Well,
too,
to become so, trusting of it. That's what, because.
Yeah. And then it becomes not the norm, but it just starts to become, you know, in every day, you're noticing, like, I was telling you that kind of silly thing, but that, you know, I got a box in the mail, then I got an order for 3 books, and the box in the mail that had nothing to do with anything was perfect for the 3 books. And I was like, see, it's just so funny that, you know, that meant I didn't have to go buy a box. It was like the box shows up, the order shows up, the 3 books go in the box.
Exactly.
And the books are sent out today. It was in some ways effortless in that what I needed came to me, and I didn't even, it was like you didn't think about it. And that I was telling you that example, and it's just an example of how things start to show up and work. And I'm enjoying
exactly
that. I'm enjoying
yeah.
that. Yeah. You know, right.
Well, isn't that that's right placement? It's just and it's a divine placement where
it is. It's because you're not thinking. It's just occurring and.
Yes.
You know, yeah. So yes, it is divine right placement, and you know, it's so enjoyable. I mean, and I find,
<It is. laughs>
and I like. I have to say, I like. And I was just talking to one of the people that I work with, you know, in a therapeutic way, how the simple, it really is a great, you know, indication of when the simple is what. Really giving you enjoyment or bringing, you know, or these little moments or these, you know, and I really agree with him that, because that's what it is. It's, oh, here's a box. Oh, here's an order. Oh, these books sit in the box. Perfect. And they're gone.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, so,
well,
I
think it's a wonderful, it's the economics. Remember we were talking, me and Jeanine were talking about that. See, this is true economics where, you know, Jeanine buys something, she has the box, the order for the books comes in, the box then gets shipped over to shipping, the books get placed in the box. And when I say economics, so it's economics of our energy, economics
yeah.
of our time. Economics, it's not just, you know, when we
it's not
hear
excess. It's not excess. It's not.
And it's not just money.
No. It's movement, energy. You know, it is kind of like a dance that, like maybe a dancer would use their body to, you know, create these movements, but not overly, you know, not excessively have to use their body to create beautiful movements. Or
exactly.
You know, and I always equate things to being a musician where, you know, same thing, where it's just the perfect amount of energy and the timing is right on. And it's noticeable in a finesseful way, you know.
Yes.
Right.
Finesse
so,
is a great word. It is finesse.
It
Living
is, and,
finesse.
Yeah, and that is an that's economics to me. You know, you're right. It's not about money. I mean, it could be, but it's
well, right,
know,
right.
It's
but it's not.
Say,
it's not
know,
limited to that. It's
no,
not limited.
No, not at all. It's limited.
Right.
It's actually can apply to everything, you know, and
yeah.
So these are the fun things that me and Goldie talk about.
Well, and the reason why I want to share it, and so does Janine,
yeah.
of course, see, because if you're tracking yourself, track when these moments come of this divinity, because it's so obvious in all of our lives when, when you capture somebody's attention, you know, 20 feet away. And I mean, because I could literally feel I was assistance to him, but let me be very clear, and he was assisting me. I mean,
it's
never one way. I assisted him to tell him it's okay to go to the, you know, cross the road. And what he assisted me is saying, hey, I hear you. you are communicating with me. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know if the average person, you know, maybe, you know, with headphones on, wouldn't even have, you know, if I wanted to say, hey, you know, you can go across, he wouldn't have even known, or she wouldn't have even known, meaning... See, my quest is to know, is this all real? I mean, this energy field, my energy field, and what I'm sensing. So it's always a two-way street, always, always, always. And
well, you know, Goldie, too, I'm trying to remember, not that we need to remember who said it, but...
Go ahead.
Whether it was Carl Jung or Eckhart Tolle, I don't remember, but
the
noticing of these things actually increases the field and the noticing of these things. So, like, it is really,
yeah.
like, for me to notice the box in the three-book order and you to notice the man picked up him, his vibe, he picked up your vibe, and then there was this wonderful mutual exchange and you helped him and, you know, he gave you something, and then you look up and there's the hawk. And, you know, but by the noticing of these things, it does incrementally increase these things.
Yes.
It just does.
It's good economics to notice.
Totally. And right. It multiplies. It multiplies,
yes.
you know. So and for me, not only is it good economics, but again, it's fun.
and it totally is fun. And
maybe there's a new book there. Economics.
Well, right. Well, life economics. I mean,
I think what I
want people to, because this is what I'm aware of, that
yeah.
this is going on in my life when I let go of control.
Yeah.
When I'm trying to control, because it's so funny, for like the last week and a half, I've been the whole care.com trying to find a job for the last 2.5 years.
Right.
You know, in the last couple of weeks, I didn't cancel the account. It's just every time it comes up, I'm so frustrated with the whole situation. I just was hitting delete. Screw it, man. I don't get, you know, whatever. I don't want to deal with you right now. Plus, I knew that Wani was going to be using me now more anyways with the holidays and everything. But, and then, of course, within the last 2 weeks, this job came up. Literally came up. And I go, you know, you kind of do that, you know, you scratch your head and go, son of a gun, it's so true. Stop. When we're trying to manifest something and we're in the space of feeling it's not there, it really does create even the things you get. You know, it's like I created essentially two, almost three jobs. All three of them turned out to be, you know, little pieces of hell for Goldie's nanny career. You know, I mean,
yeah,
I wasn't, yeah. You know, I worked and didn't get paid, or, you know, she gave me hours and systematically took them away. I mean, there was a third job in there too. I don't remember, but I know it didn't work out because I'm not there anymore. You know, it's like, so the tracking is about really,
you know,
understanding. Oh, go ahead.
No, if I'm, and one of the trackings, you know, just because I've been tracking along with you, I noticed there was something really great about when you decided to join the Y and go into the water.
Which, by the way, has been broken for the last 3 weeks.
Right.
So I've been teased with that one. We'll talk about that. Keep going.
Right.
Okay.
But I just noticed that there was such that really
right
took
on.
Me by surprise when I saw that post. I was like, ooh, that's good. And then it seemed to me like something shifted. And then, you know, isn't it funny that it would seem as though there is a natural flow, there is an opening, there is a, it's you know, less effort. Care.com seems, you know, too almost, quote, contrived. And
exactly.
I mean, I've had those same experiences where, you know, Goldie posted one of my pictures, which was this uprooted giant tree that I saw in the woods.
It's on the episode page. If you want to know the tree, it's on the episode page.
Yeah, and I just noticed that, you know, the complete disconnect that the tree took, you know, roots and everything. And, you know, and I saw that as a natural cycle. And I, you know, along with Goldie with Care.com, but me with even my book, you know, thinking it should go here and it should go there and this bookstore should stock it and that one should, and then, you know, it does feel sort of like the Care.com feeling where it's not working out and why isn't it working out? And then I'm just like, your book knows where to go. Stop, you know? I mean, obviously I do my part, but just detach. This is not about, you know, me predicting an outcome. This is about letting it happen. And so, yeah, so, you know, it seems to me the same feeling of the care.com where it just unfolds naturally. Like something shows up. It's just like the box with the books. It's like,
exactly.
And it shows up. And then it shows, you know, and yeah, so there has been for me in the last week, and so funny too, because I was thinking about, so I just tracked for you, right? You going into the
water.
Y. But there was something even about, and Goldie's going to totally go, yay! Me and the storm. The storm, me being without electricity and everything for 11 to 12 days, I think that I've had a shift too, where, and you know.
Wait a minute, you think?
No, okay.
Stop. Okay. Continue.
I know. So, but there's, you know, if you do look back and you can see these trackings where there's been, and think about that, you know, I was detached and unwired and, you know, from.
No
the
doggy
grid,
fence. No human conscious doggy fence.
Yeah,
yes.
And it was pitch black out, and the sky was brighter with stars, and you know it was, you know, yeah, it was some fires in the fireplaces, but it was cold, and you know, but it was, I was living a more sort of natural, no heat, no electricity, no television, no cable, no nothing, and so you know, cooking on a little propane stove, which I didn't mind at all, and you know, but yeah, so I think that I was thinking about this today, how Sandy was in many ways a natural stimulus for me of her own, you know, and isn't that interesting because she's a big spiral. Who came up the East Coast, took a left turn in New Jersey and was like...
took a left turn in Trenton.
And, you know, and that was October 29th, you know. So, and things have been happening, but things that are similar to your experience where it's just been unfolding, you know, and it's birthed
from a state of truly calm, peaceful knowing.
Yeah.
That's what continually shows up for me. In a state of, I'll be honest, first of all, I rarely panic anymore. That's just not, it's not an energy that I don't panic because inevitably you're entrained to, I go into action, you know, what needs to be done. Okay, I'll do what needs to be done, you know. But panic is a sensorial sensation that I have no control and I'm afraid.
Right.
I am learning to have no control and love it.
Right.
And love it.
Right.
I want you guys to hear that and feel that because I know so many of you are going, I want to trust this. It's like because the gifts of these experiences come when you let go of control. And so you go, okay, well, so what happens when you let go of control? Everything that you're mentally in overdrive to keep in your life right now, whether it's jobs or relationships or houses or whatever, whatever it is, right. And you guys all know for yourself what that is. When you let go, if it was there because you're mentally contriving to keep it there, it's
yeah.
going to go. It's going to go. But this is
That's
what we're
so
talking
true.
About. It's the economics of the energy, because when that stuff goes, and you know why it's going? Because from a divine point of view, that's not what your soul wants you to be.
Right,
your soul
right.
wants you to be in your passion, in your joy. And by the way, passion and joy does not mean, I'll say it this way. Challenges are part of my passion.
Exactly.
I am passionate about being challenged because I am passionate about, well, not just winning, but showing that I can get something done and accomplished. Because it really has transcended from, it started off as competition being winning. That I recognize that was the passion, and I'm not here to win because I'm not competing with anybody. But I am always here to show myself, you know, come on, how many people have told us in our journey of enlightenment or ascension, whatever you want to call it, that can't be done, you know, and oh, really? Just,
right.
you know, and it's funny because I'm actually very conscious and conscientious about what I choose to prove can be done, because it used to just be if somebody walked up to me and said that can't be done. I mean, you know, I find myself, you know, trying to jump across, you know, the Snake River, like, you know, the guy on the motorcycle. I forgot his name. You know, like, meaning
Evel Knievel?
Evel Knievel, you know, jumping over the fence. He didn't make it. You know, there are things that I could be manipulated because if someone
yeah.
said it couldn't be done, I would show to do that. I choose what I want to prove can be done, because the truth is I'm not proving it to the person saying it can't be done. I'm proving it to myself.
Right.
Because
right.
because I find incredible excitement when I do accomplish something like that. And again, what? The radio show is one of them. I can remember being told you'll never make a living being a nanny. It's only a transitional job. Hello, folks. I'm on year 22, the master year
great.
Of 22. And, you know, I'm just doing okay. And I get it. You know, my funds have, you know, gone haywire. But, okay, so now me and my father are exploring the wonderful, because this is what I realized, too, about my dad. My dad is becoming the child, the unconditional loving child that I was when I was three, and I'm becoming the parent where just feeding his joy. The other night I downloaded some songs on an MP3 player for him, and he was so like, wow, this little box, you know, he goes, I can't believe how much information is in this little 1-inch little, you know, box thing. And, you know, he's so new to technology that, you know, I was enjoying it with him, because I remember when I first got to hear Crimson Circle Shouts out in the forest, it was like I wasn't tethered to my computer. You know, I could take them out on an MP3 player. I was actually I was using CDs at the time. But nonetheless, I knew what he meant, and it was a great experience sharing the downloading of that with him, and I get that I just whoosh, okay, I went to another direction. I don't know why I had to share about my dad. He was worth sharing.
Oh no, of course.
Yeah,
of course. And did you get the prints from me, one for him?
I did. I did,
oh,
and I told him, because I was like, oh, those are Janine's prints. And I go, and he was in such a good mood. I was like, I go, Dad, she gave you one. And
oh.
he goes, really? And I, you know, I already have a Victor Tiger. And I go, she gave you that one. And I pointed to it. And he goes, oh, I'm going to hang it in my bedroom. I said,
oh,
I said,
that's so
right.
Great.
And I told him, I go, if you want to go take that one, if you want that one. And,
well,
you know,
no,
and
his name is on it.
Oh, okay.
Fred. And then it says, it says the sweet Victor the Tiger.
Right on. Well, and he goes, well, you tell that Janine I want a hug when I see
her. Oh, that's nice.
You made him frisky, babe.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that's
well,
that unconditional love you give, I'm telling you. He was. He was actually a little tigress. He was adorable. It was so loving, and he was genuinely appreciative. I'm glad, right on. I'm so glad that came up. Absolutely.
Good, me too.
Yes. Because he was like, yes, you make sure she's doing her art. I want to make sure she's doing her art. And I go, oh, no, she lives artfully. She's always doing her art. And he smiled. Yeah, my pleasure. No, it was a great moment. Now,
yeah. What?
Okay, go ahead. No, I have a list of things to talk about.
Yeah, go.
Are you sure? Okay.
Oh,
so,
absolutely.
Okay. I don't know if everybody saw this, but Dronvalo Melchizedek did an interview on Coast to Coast on November 22nd. And one of the things that he talked about lots of things. I highly recommend the interview. It's on YouTube. One of the things he talked about was that what I'm going to call the inner sun of our planet. Because remember, last week we were talking about it. We're not even looking at planet Earth as a planet anymore because planets don't give birth. Stars give birth. So, you know, I'm going to utilize language that, okay, so the core of this star used to be in the shape of a sphere. And everything that Dronvalo shares is categorically, scientifically, it's scientific data. In other words, there are scientists that confirm this information. What the core used to be in the shape of a sphere. Now it's in the shape. Wait a minute, I wrote it down so I know how to say it. I just got to find it. I got all these notes. Where did I write it? Okay, a pentagonal dodecahedron. Okay, pentagonal dodecahedron. Now, if you guys remember when Greg Braden did there's a short clip that Greg Braden does where he shows a water droplet with a frequency, a sound frequency, how the water droplet as he raises the frequency, as he raises the sound, the picture in the water droplet, it becomes sacred geometry, but the picture in the water droplet changes and becomes more intricate as the frequency is raised. Oh. Now, when Dronvalo says that the core of Mother Earth is now a pentagonal dodecahedron, that is a more intricate, by the way, the shape is essentially a soccer ball, but I believe it has more sides than a soccer ball.
Right.
So, but that's how it looks, just, you know, to give you guys a visual for your minds. All right, now we're gonna get into it.
That's very interesting.
Because we're living that. This is, okay, if Earth is maintaining that shape, and if you watch the Greg Braden, you know, it's because the frequency is it holds that shape as he raises the frequency, and it's not volume that's being raised, it's pitch. So if the Earth is holding that frequency because that's what that shape is telling us,
right?
Okay, every living creature in her, on her, is holding that frequency too. So we are literally living in a higher frequency right now. That's the confirmation that we are indeed living in a higher frequency. And this is something that I got a hit today. I was talking to a friend of mine, Punky, and we were talking about somebody she knows, a child who's on Ritalin, because of ADD or whatever, his parents are, you know, medicating him. And she was like, I feel really bad for him. And I swear, all of a sudden it just came out of my mouth. This awareness, I went, you know, when I was doing the cocaine, I was very much in a frequency that was, it's definitely a lower frequency. You know, it is. There's not, I didn't have the confidence. I had fear, paranoia, actually.
Right.
A lot of things like that, which are indicative of the lower frequencies. Now, this is something that I saw in somebody's video recently, that if you raise the frequency, the water droplet takes on the new sacred geometry pattern.
Okay.
If you lower the frequency, the droplet immediately, you know, it scrambles and then it will decrease in, you know, its pattern. It'll go back to the more simple pattern. But whichever frequency is being held, that's what the pattern is. In other words, the earth is showing us we can't go back to the sphere. You can't go back there now because one of the things me and Janine have been tracking, which is incredibly helpful, is that our solar system is literally, we are no longer on the towards the outskirts of the Milky Way galaxy. Yes,
I like gallery.
it's an art thing. The Milky Way gallery. So we for pretty much probably most of our lifetimes, we were on the outskirts. We were towards the edges, the outer edges. It is now being shown that we are not only becoming in alignment with the center of the Milky Way galaxy, but we are actually moving towards the center, meaning through the arms of the gallery. Okay, the gallery. I surrender. And so as you get closer to the middle, the particles in the air, the particles of reality, are literally pentagonal dodecahedron. This is where we are. We're not going to drop down. And the reason why I'm saying this is, so literally, I can tell you, the abuse that I did to my body between cocaine, alcohol, and cigarettes was huge. Huge. In my heyday, I was smoking like 3 packs of cigarettes a day and, you know, smoking cocaine and basing. And I mean, I was believe me when I tell you, if you can kind of get already. I'm an extreme person. I am. I like experiencing the extreme. And the truth is, my body shows no real signs. Like I have other friends that were smoking cocaine and their teeth rotted out of their mouths. Well,
right.
Mine didn't. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why I truly believe mine didn't. Because at the end of the night, whatever time that was, which was usually 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning when you're doing cocaine, I would run energy clearings through my body. And I would do it with the intensity of an OCD person, because that's almost what I would call it, the positive side of being a coke addict, because I was looping, but I had the wisdom or the awareness to loop my body in favor. So I was looping cleansing white lights or cleansing white energies through my body, and, you know, literally going, okay, rejuvenate all the destruction I put you through today. And what I'm learning is, when we go into the higher vibrations, the dodecahedron vibrations, there is no, you're not healing, you're healed. There's nothing, you can't be sick in the dodecahedron. You're not out of balance, because it's a frequency that, from a science point of view, it's non-resonant. You can't be there.
Right.
So if, you know, it's like you got to be working really, really hard right now for the body to be showing, you know, signs that it's, you know, and I'm not talking about the flu-like symptoms, which is part of the change that we're going through. That I'm talking about cancers and tumors. Because in my humble opinion, scientifically, it's impossible. It just simply, that kind of manifestation, it's not natural of the dodecahedron. And I'm telling you, I'm living proof of the stuff that I did. I've always been, because like I'm reading a lot of posts where people are like kind of going, I want to believe I can heal. And it's like, I mean, you want to believe you can heal. If you're talking to your body, there's nothing you can't do with it. I mean, I truly believe that. I get it, you know. Superman tried to, you know, make himself not numb anymore. You know, Christopher Reeve was working with mind control and stuff, feedback work. But here's the difference.
Had the spinal injury?
Yeah, the guy who played Superman. That's why I said Superman. And they actually talked about that he had some wiggling in his toes. Now, here's the difference, and this is what I want to stress. An interesting word to pick. What I want to stress is I don't think we were dodecahedral at that point. See, we are in a different part of the galaxy, and so what I want to emphasize is the tools that we are playing with have increased our abilities 100 million fold. We are such magical beings. Mm-hmm. And truly, the way to experience this magic is you got to start, you know, doing some letting go. Let go of control. Control, ironically, is the Antichrist.
It really is.
In the dodecahedron. It is. Okay, yeah. Please share.
No, I agree with you. I was just curious. No, this is great. And you know, the whole awareness of the, because I'm now getting, because you had mentioned it to me quickly, but now I really get what you meant by the Greg Braden water droplet thing. So I love this part of understanding how the core now is that shape because of the increased vibration.
Exactly.
And I love at the same time that that's occurring, simultaneously we are in a different place lining up with the center. And, you know, it's all supporting this, you know, birthing of a star, birthing of us.
Yes.
You know, no, that's great, because I'm loving hearing this. And but I was just curious, because I think I missed what was the beginning part about that child on Ritalin? I wasn't sure.
She kept going, it's going to destroy his body. She was like, that medication.
Oh, okay.
And I was saying to her, I go, it's an experience. But
right.
I can tell you, if he's on Ritalin, he's obviously a pretty magical kid. He's just
right,
misunderstood.
Right.
So once he gets off the Ritalin and his body, and at some point when his soul wants him to join the dodecahedron crowd, which of course he's already there now anyway,
right,
because the whole planet,
really.
He can't not be.
Right, because we're in the physical space of the dodecahedron vibration. So it's a really fascinating... you know, it's very, I'm intrigued by this because I'm thinking, why isn't everything literally lining up as, you know, and maybe it is. I'm just.
Well, of course, it's always in divine. And I think part of it is our minds are such powerful tools in this dimension that it's just taking more and more energy to hold everything in. And I'll tell you. From my perspective, absolutely.
Because when you do let go, you are literally not using wasted energy on the whole exhausting force
exactly.
it takes to hold on. You know,
exactly.
It's like that's exhausting in itself. That's probably illness, you know, creating, as opposed to letting go and just letting, you know, this timing, this frequency, let everything be, you know, filled with finesse.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, right? It's just... It makes so much sense to me. That's what's, you know, this isn't like some fantasy magical, isn't that a wonderful story? It makes sense to me. you know.
Yeah. Well, and so, the confirmation for me is what makes it's like, wow, we actually have the Earth is in is a different the core of her what is going to inevitably from inside out birth. Because I'll tell you, when I heard that, you know, the shape, I put my hands on my belly and I went, oh, wow, that's the shape that's growing inside my belly.
Right.
Because I talk to Janine all the time and I'm pregnant with something. I don't know what I'm pregnant with. But I know, you know, it just, when I put my hands on my belly and I shut my eyes, I saw that shape in my mind's eye. And, this is where we got to learn how to trust ourselves. And, you know, because one of the things that I was talking about also and just contemplating a lot lately is the whole idea of power and being self-empowered and what does self-empowerment look like? And, you know, because this new frequency, like one of the things me and Janine were really, you know, like acutely aware of is that it shows up, at least at this point in our evolution, it shows up as pain and chaos and anxiety, you know, because we're so conditioned in an upside down way that this frequency our physical bodies are not a resonance for this frequency. And the way we become resonant is we allow the pain to rewire and replug in, and because what we're not being told, and I believe it's intentional, what we're not being told is the magic is the pain knows how to make us resonant with it. And so the pain is actually our own power returning home to us. And the more that I am doing this integrating work, which is simply not running away from painful experiences, just sitting with them, just allowing them to be, not trying to manage them out, not trying to mentally create a way to justify it. So, because in my own tracking, I know when I do that, and now I'm choosing not to do that because it is becoming so clear to me that I'm embodying a power that, in all honesty, I won't even try and manifest with it because, you know, it feels so powerful. I'm just kind of letting it. Okay, you know, this job came through. I remember I was a week and a half going, screw all you. I'm not looking for any more nanny jobs. It's like, but then all of a sudden I noticed the job gets created. See, and now I'm starting to realize. See, this new particle or this new frequency of quark or whatever it is so it cannot be manipulated through the minds and the tactics that the reptilians have been using on us. See, and they knew this because they knew we were going to have this point in time where we were going to become, we are literally awakening because the space within us is awakened. I mean, we're breathing and living and absorbing this awakened state of being. So first of all, you can't miss. And of course, as Janine always so beautifully puts it, when we're in our space, you know, in our own experience and we're having a hard time, there is perfection in that because it is where this is the next step. You know, we're aware that.
I call them signposts. Like,
there you go. Go.
Yeah. Because we talk about this every week because it's just coming up a lot. And I think that, and I find myself talking to people about it too, that I, you know, that I talk to that literally, you know, it's almost like they come and they talk about, you know, what they think is quote wrong with them or their anxieties or their fears or their pains. And what I keep hearing is, it's themselves, or then I'll use myself. When you're feeling those
fears, anxieties, worries, nervousnesses, they're actually, they've been misinterpreted that they are actually showing you where you need to go to understand yourself, to liberate yourself, to be without your power, to, you know, and I'm getting to understand that week by week more and more, that these are ourselves helping ourselves know ourselves. And what everybody has been taught to do is run away from the pain, run away from the feelings. And I'm saying there's nothing about you and your feelings that you should be afraid of. These are all you helping you. And it's really been, you know, just to me, misinformation, misunderstood, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, just even last week, because I read the review on the show last week, but I remember because Goldie was talking about, you know, letting go.
On the show? You mean on the book? Wait, what are you talking about?
Last week I read this review, right?
Yeah.
So
on
so,
the show, I see what you're saying.
On the
okay.
show, right. But prior okay. to, so it was last week, though, that, you know, literally, just like Goldie with care.com and jobs and, you know, income, you know, it's the same for me and my new book is, you know, it's like, okay, and, you know, I think I'm supposed to be here or there or getting orders. And, you know, I just was like, let it go. Okay, one Amazon order. Great. Let it go. And I'm sitting in a parking lot ready to go into Trader Joe's and go visit some birds in Bird Jungle. And and I look at my phone and I see, and I literally just said, let it go. Let it go. And you know, unexpected, out of nowhere, I get this email that says, your book has been reviewed by librarians and they don't feel it could be any better written.
They think it should have been read yesterday.
Every child that reads it will wish they had read it yesterday. And they think that every library in school should have multiple copies. And I'm looking at it and I'm going, this looks good.
The tracking is, what were you doing when it came in?
I let it go. I let everything
go. There you
go.
Right on.
I let everything go. I was, you know, and we could even call my mother right now if I didn't think she was sleeping to back up my story.
You don't need backup. You have integrity. We trust you. Come on.
I know.
Okay.
I'm just bringing my mother into this. But, but she knew. I was like, I'm really, you know, it's like just letting it go. And it's just, yeah. I'm like looking at the review going, wow.
Yeah.
So these are, you know, and literally today I have the pleasure of working with some wonderful people who I adore. And it's because, you know, you listen to them and you go, there's nothing wrong with you. You're telling yourself where to go, and yet you just need me to go, you know,
right.
Because don't
right.
be afraid of those feelings. They are your key into this new place or this, you know, the center of your own galaxy or whatever.
Right
you know?
On. Right
and
on.
So,
both are
so,
true.
Yeah,
yes.
So, and now I've got the, the dodecahedron backing me, you know.
Truly, it's exactly what it's doing.
I love this new understanding. It's fabulous. But, yeah, I'm really enjoying that part of it, Goldie, because I listened to Drum Blow and I thought it was excellent. I really did.
But
you know how I picked up on the little place in the heart that they can't detect.
Oh yes, yes.
The little
yes.
they call it the tiny place, and they. But you know, so there I was, and I'm going, ooh, that's magnificent, you know. And then you picked up on this dodecahedron of the center, and you know, so it's so fun because we're both picking up different things, but they're so relevant. And you know, I'm fascinated with what you're telling me, and yet you were fascinated with me picking up on this little tiny space in the heart that they know exists but they can't find it. And for me, it probably represents our center that to me is multidimensional. So no wonder they can't pick it up with third dimensional apparatus.
Of
you
course.
Know, it's beyond that.
It's beyond that.
Right.
Absolutely. But our senses from our body are also our bodies might be have birthed in the third dimension, but
right.
I'm telling you, we absolutely have the potential to pick up on all of this. And it's already in your DNA.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's wherever it is, it's in you. Because it's the field. You're totally built for this. There's no activation necessary. I'll be other than maybe you need to go to nature, and I'll tell you why I say go to nature. Nature isn't necessarily activating it. Nature is basically calming your mind down enough so that it can just happen. It's already it wants to happen, but the mind is at this point still trumping the energies that you're putting into your toroid. You know, your heart field. And this is something people that when we talk about this, you know, if there's crap going on in your life, which first of all, as Jay put it, there's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, you got to start from wherever you are. You know, but I'm telling you, if you work through the crap, and how do you work through the crap? You simply go, it's mine. Okay. Come into me. All the pain, I swear to God. It hit me so profoundly when I was talking to my friend Dennis that all the pain that I experienced. I just put up the link for the YouTube for Drumvelo. So if anybody wants to copy that or whatever, it's in the chat room. I was totally getting that the pain and my self empowerment are absolutely. Just like Janine was saying, they are the paradox.
Mm-hmm.
It is the same. If it was a straight line, there would be two ends. But the truth of the matter is it's a circle, and they meet. And that meeting place is me becoming an aware, multidimensional being, disconnecting more and more every single day from the matrix, and finding the true essence, the true essence of who I am and blending it with the infinite. The essence is the infinite aspect of us, and the physical body is the finite aspect of us, because we do live in a paradox. So this isn't about, you know, we're not annihilating the ego. We're not annihilating the body. We're not trying to escape the body. This isn't about experiencing this outside the body. This is about experiencing it in the body.
Mm.
And hands down, feet down, butts down, all of it down, the pain has a wisdom the pain has a wisdom that is surpasses any kind of, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb. Any kind of hands-on healing that you're going to get from other people. Mm. You know, and it's interesting because Elise was talking about, you know, she's been reading George's book and you know, it blew her mind. And I get it. It blows everybody's mind. He is truly, you know, the sword carrier. But he said in one of his recent interviews that when we go to hands-on healers, you know why we feel good? Because what they're doing is reacclimating us back into the matrix.
Right.
If you want to play in the matrix, hey, God bless you. I'm telling you, I have so surrendered. No, you know, wherever everybody's journey is, go there. Go, and you will go there, of course. And I honor whatever journey, whatever path. Hey, rock and roll, everybody. Me. I'm getting out of the matrix. I've just I'm willing to do the work. I'm willing to be courageous. And most importantly, I am willing to sit in my own pain. And see, this is what, at the very least, I want you to hear. The pain is you coming back home to you. It literally is the pieces of the dodecahedron part of you. So what you declare as pain is simply because the belief that we've been conditioned to believe is telling you this is a negative. But I promise you, ask any athlete that's at a caliber of what are the five circles called? The Olympics.
Right.
That when they train, the pain is part of their training, and they know that it makes them. It's a feeling I'm getting. There's a mastery in the ability to master pain, and I get it. Everybody's also talking about, oh, we're going to do this without pain. You know, pain is part of the dark agenda. You know, if that is not, in my humble opinion, misdirection and misinformation, I can't emphasize enough your pain, yours. And I'm talking about the stuff you experience when you're alone. I'm not talking, if you're getting your ass kicked by your boyfriend, of course, you need to, you know, not be in that kind of pain. I'm talking about the pain about not getting what you want. I'm talking about the pain that happens, and I'll be very specific. When you let your mind go and you're no longer using a ton of energy to create what you think is best for you, all the pain you feel from that is yours. And if you let it, it will bring you courage, strength, perseverance, magic, wisdom, awareness, power. Let's just get down to it. It will bring you the power of that. You'll see that manifesting red Corvettes, please, that's so passe. I don't actually need a red Corvette. You'll manifest peace of mind. You'll manifest that you can speak to somebody 20 yards away, you know, who was genuinely, I could feel it. He was in such a quandary, and he was getting upset. He didn't know. He was looking for the sign to say, okay, you hit the button, now it's okay. And he wasn't seeing that. And I saw that he wasn't seeing that. So I became literally, you know, and I don't use words like angels and all that stuff. This isn't about angels. But I became his helper. And it was done through the etheric. I mean, I was physically there. But the communication that I gave him was etheric. And the smile that he waved to me, I'm telling you, when it hit me, it was a tsunami of love. That I just, you know, I was crying my eyes like a little baby. And that comes from me sitting with my own pain. And it, simply acknowledging that what I want might not be in my best interest to have. It's humility.
The belief system is so strong in us and people to avoid the discomfort. So much so that, you know, that's really where, you know, the looping and the keeping us, you know, in a box or keeping yourself. And, you know, I guess the gradual letting go of these belief systems, you know, when you were talking about, was it Elise that, you know, George just blew her mind kind of thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
That's the kind of stuff you want, though, because you want your belief systems to be challenged and, you know, and let them go. And yeah, there might be a process that goes with that where, you know, there's some disorientation and there's some resistance and there's some discomfort and, you know, but that's all a good sign, you know,
right.
That's all
right.
What you want. And gradually, as you realize you're not your own enemy, that your feelings are your tip offs, that that's the way in to your own sense of power, self, and all that, you know, that, I mean, I can't emphasize that enough. It's the most important thing I find myself knowing, saying.
Absolutely.
Lately, you know?
Absolutely.
And it's so pertinent
right now, because we can all feel ourselves at our own doorway. There's not a person on the planet, I truly believe this, that doesn't have this painful sense of, you know, God, you know, why is my life just so whacked right now? Why?
Right.
I really don't.
Yeah, and you know what else I love? Because there's this, you know, you mentioned the word paradox. But paradox gets such a bad rap, you know, because I'm thinking, you know, therein, in the paradox itself is sort of there is a magical space in there, just similar to that little tiny spot in the heart. And
it's a center point. That's exactly right.
Right. And once the paradox no longer holds this negative connotation, the interesting thing is I believe that the paradox no longer exists. But it's
well,
in the
right
belief
on.
That the paradox is not not an enemy, but sort of a, oh, it's a paradox. You know, that means, you know, you're stuck.
I can't figure it out. Right.
No,
right.
Actually, it's the way in again. And then what the irony is this is what I love about, you know, these concepts, because they're fun, is that when you no longer find the paradox a difficult place, the paradox no longer exists.
That's brilliant, Janine. That is right on and brilliant.
But that's exactly how our feelings are. You know, when you go into the feelings and you realize what they're giving you and what they're telling you is it goes away. It's like, you know.
Well, I can't say that, you know, I jump up and down with excitement, you know, when a new painful situation enters my door.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that I don't resist it. I mean, in other words, it's a challenge. And I can tell you that I'm excited about challenges, because at this point I look at this new, like I have a painful thing. Scott's under a lot of pressure right now. And,
right.
And he's really retreating within. I mean, it's funny. It's almost like walking by him is like walking by a black hole.
Right.
I feel sucked in, but I don't see Scott. He's not talking to me.
I can see that as a challenge. Yes, I can see that, you know, how that would be a challenge.
Well, because my energy, paradoxically, is expanding. I'm becoming aware of my expansion.
Right.
And he hasn't had that breakthrough yet with the roof and his mom. And, you know, there's just, Scott works best when there's no change, and he has significant change going on in his life. And so it was interesting, because I'm feeling incredibly, like, you know, what Jean was saying, I'm feeling incredibly aware of so much that's going on, you know, and of course the man that I love, I'm not sharing any of this with. I mean, none of it, because, well, for one thing, he's not speaking to me. No, and it's not that he's not speaking to me. He's not angry at me. It's just his energy is completely self-directed within.
Right.
And that really is, how do I put it? It's not right timing. Like, it's here's the beauty of it, right? I'm working every day this week. I mean, I haven't worked a five-day week in quite some time. And Scott knows when I work, you know, I stay at my dad's because I'm 5 minutes from where I work. So here's the irony. I get a five-day work week. And he said, okay, babe, so you're going to be, you know, at home, you know, I probably won't see you till the weekend. I'm like, yeah, exactly. Right. So look at that. See, that's that economics thing. Because this weekend, I chose to stay home on Friday. I chose to stay home on Saturday. I went over on Sunday. And I told him, I'm like, I miss you, but I also get it. I'm not taking it personal. I mean,
right.
I really can see his field, what's going on. I know what's going on. And so it's in my best interest, instead of being over there, you know, and it's so funny because life itself brought me home. I'm home, me and my dad are filling up MP3s. You know, I'm with my cat and my poor plants, I had not been home in a few days last week, and, you know, they went, my peace lily was totally wilting. So I gave it water, of course, and I actually put it on my lap, and I was like, I love you. I'm sorry. You should have more water. and the next day she was popped up, and I was like, okay, you know, I just feel the timing right now feels better for me to be at home. And I didn't have to break up with Scott to get this. I didn't have to start a fight with him, which were all old habits. There was a presence, and again, there's economics going on, which is, boy, it just doesn't get better than that. It just doesn't get better. And I share this with you because it's my dream for all of us to live in such, here's the word, harmony. Harmony with And that harmony with others, harmony with life itself. Meaning, and you're going, well, that's part of others. But this isn't about trying to be in harmony. See, there's no trying. I mean, Yoda said it best. There is no try. Do or do not do. That, it's as simple as that. And so the key is getting, for me, one of my major keys that I got in place relatively early to us being in the dodecahedron space was infinite trust. You know,
yeah.
That I dealt with that last year, and I'm so grateful I dealt with that last year because I see how much it plays into experiencing the magic now. You know, and it doesn't matter whether you've dealt with it last year or otherwise. It has to be addressed, and at some point you got to take a risk because you'll never learn trust without risking. You won't. Trust comes from making choices that are scary, that it takes courage, that, you know, the mass consciousness, I can promise you won't agree with them. I can promise you that, you know, because another thought that I got in my head was that the more empowered I'm feeling, and I am feeling empowered. I laugh because my empowerment for me means leaving the matrix. So that means I am not looking at the matrix to define whether I'm doing well or not.
Mm.
Because, you know, we've had those shows where we talk about when you're in the midst of learning these things, the people around you, even loved ones, you know, might call you a failure and say, what the hell? What are you doing? Because, you know, if your goal is to leave the matrix, then that means you, as you unplug from the matrix, before we get a handle on this, but I'll tell you, I would imagine being in the dodecahedron space, it will take a lot quicker to kind of basically get your stride going. Because I'm telling you, people, I can't emphasize enough, the fact that every particle in our universe, or in our solar system at the very least, is magical. It's amped. We are in magical spaces. Play with it. Jump off a few cliffs. Quit a few jobs. You know. Okay, wait. One of the things I want to talk about, Janine, and I want to ask everybody to ask themselves this. This was a question that, and Janine, if you could answer, that would be great. Is there anything you do in life that you wish you weren't doing?
No, I can't. Never. I think we
already. We already talked about this. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I couldn't come up with anything. And then you said no. That isn't anything you
realize. Because I know your frequency, and I'm telling you,
right.
That's how you'll know you're in alignment. And here's the thing: if there's a lot of space and time where you're doing absolutely nothing, that's a beautiful space to be because that's you getting acclimated to the void.
Also, right. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, please.
No.
Go.
Well, because, I want you to say more about that, but I wanted to say that included in that question, you know, not only how your life is working out, do you see that you're doing anything that you don't want to be doing? So, you know, you can get a pretty good idea of, you know, where you are there. But I also include in that is, are you responsible for not using your emotions to try to control others? Because that's a big one. In fact, in the I think it's in the Mayan guy one, I think it's him that says that and the reason I so promote, you know, going into our own personal feelings and our pain and anxieties and the part of us that, you know, we feel there's something, quote, wrong with, is because that's so much more responsible than to, and this is a really good tracking for people, is to see if you're using your emotions to try to control others.
Because
if you are, it's a really good place to notice. And then go into emotions yourself and don't bring up, you know, don't use it on other people, because it really will, you'll get quick results from that, you know.
Absolutely, right on.
And so
right on.
When you asked me that question, I was also tracking myself going, and have I been, you know, have I been responsible emotionally? Because there are times where, you know, I could be tempted almost to go, you know.
Let's throw a little guilt here to get what I want.
Yeah. I'm going to do a little abandonment.
See, we all
job.
Go through it, everybody. Really important.
I'm going to threaten abandonment, but I'm going to do it really artfully so they won't even know I'm doing that. But then I really...
I love it. Right on, babe. Right on.
So these are really, you know, these are really good places to not only ask yourself, you know, where are you with that? How are you with that? You know, and
right.
and just, you know, yeah, and just like we're laughing about it, you should laugh about it because
you
it's
should
not,
laugh
it's
about
not,
it.
It's not the,
it's
worst
not the
thing
end of
the
world. Exactly. Listen, we've all been conditioned. Oh,
it's not the end of the world. It's the beginning of the world.
It's the birthing of the world. Well, it's so true. And
so,
see, when we look at ourselves, you got to understand that we were conditioned to be anti-life. Anti-life is what our schools, our medical, our religions, our parents. So, you know, I used to tell my friends, if your intention was to come to a dualistic environment, and then all of a sudden you found yourself one day covered in shit, why were you surprised you smelled bad? I mean, meaning it's what we came here to experience.
Right.
So don't beat yourself up for having these experiences. You know, just simply go, but because what we are at a space now is we're at a space where we can be done with this. We're in the dodecahedron. You don't have to, well, put it this way. It's in alignment at this point in time to now go, okay, listen, I'm going to start taking more responsibility for who I am. Because the conditioning happened. That was an automatic. And again, there's no guilt. No guilt or shame.
No, this isn't about guilt at all, right?
Not at all. And,
no.
and people go, well, how do I let it go? It's like simply recognize that everybody has a dark side.
I'll help you too. Go walk, you know, wherever you can, and just look for, you know, a tree and the tree roots, or look at the picture that Goldie posted of mine and go, that's, you know, that's a letting go. I mean, nature's showing you, let go, you know, that's what I got from the tree that day.
Yeah,
the
tree Janine's talking about is the tree that's literally flat on its side. All the roots and the dirt and the earth all came up with, you know, it's just, in other words, the tree didn't crack in half, literally from its roots. It came out of the ground.
And you know what was interesting about that photograph? I took that, you know, with my phone, and I was going to post it because I was intrigued by what it might trigger in people, because it's not the prettiest picture in the world. You know, it's not, you know, it's the bottom underneath of the roots and the dirt, and the, you know, it's just all kind of, you know, chaos. And I thought. And then Goldie, what did you posted something, and I'm like, oh, I'm putting that tree up there. You know, oh, I think it was Thanksgiving. That's right, it was Thanksgiving.
when I put the alien and talked about us all being served up in the fourth dimension. Oh yeah, I remember that.
I was like, okay, I'm putting the tree root up. I'm gonna see, you know, I'm gonna see how this works with, you know, saying, hey, this is about, you know, what the tree showed me was to become undone, which I think is an incredible place, and to detach. You know, and
right on. Listen, and guilt from an economics point of view, guilt and shame and jealousy, these are literally, economically speaking, totally useless and wasteful.
Well, and they also
emotions.
Are non-life. They are anti-life.
It takes whatever juice you're putting towards these thoughts or these feelings about yourself. It's like flushing them down the toilet and by literally, the only one that can change it is you. And there is no, another being is to wait around for a deity or an angel to tap you on your head and go, "You're forgiven," is a trap. These angels can. Nobody's going to do it. No, you will just go down the toilet following your own guilt. It's the truth, because I can tell you that I have done a lot of ugly things in this lifetime, a lot of ugly things. And you know how I know it's okay? Well, because I live in a dualistic planet. How could it not be okay? I mean, look at it from the signs of the obvious. If darkness exists, it must be okay. How could it not be okay? It's here. I mean, I am just an explorer and a pioneer, and I'll be honest with you, I have an affinity for the dark. I like playing in the dark. I as I told Janine, I think I'm 46% dark and 54% light. No, that was wrong. Wait, what? If it was 46, I don't know, do the math. I can't do the math right now. But the bottom line is... No, right, and actually I said that wrong. I think I'm 56% dark and 44% light. Simply because I'm honest. The darkness intrigues me, and I'll tell you why the darkness intrigues me. Because challenge intrigues me.
Mm.
That's why. See, darkness is not just about, kicking, taking baby seals and clubbing them over the head. And I'm not saying that that's not dark. That clearly is dark. But darkness is about creation itself, because I'll tell you, in all the dark things I've ever done, I've had to become very creative, and not only very creative, look at, this is just coming to me right now, if we look at society, inherently, the dark has mastered the arts of magic way more than the light has. I mean, the masters of dark... In this dimension, mm-hmm. the darkness has mastered magic in the sense of, look at the cabal, look at, the elite, look at the reptilians. They're all using the intelligence from the dark arts against us.
Right.
Where, I look at, Mother Teresa, who was definitely a being of light, but, it didn't show up as a... she was basically in Calcutta with, hanging out with, the untouchables.
Right.
It's like, so I'm just saying, when you look at that in this dimension, you can't deny that the dark, listen, people used to go, crime doesn't pay, and I used to go, bullshit. Bullshit. That's not my experience. Crime paid very well. Very, very well.
That's Sean the Rabbit.
And I'm not telling you guys to go out there to be crimeful. I'm telling you to be honest with yourself. Because if you can be honest with yourself, then you can leave the game, go and be birthed, and create any dimension and any universe you want. Because that is the next step on this journey, us becoming creators of our own universe. As masters of light. And why are we masters of light? Because we recognize both the light and the dark. Because that's what the dark is very much a part of the light. It is. And there's no shame to that. There's no shame whatsoever. It's only our feeling of shame that brings shame into the game. So,
you can't avoid the paradox. You just can't. It's impossible.
You
will always be one-sided. You need to...
And you'll get your ass handed to you if that's the case.
Come to the paradox and then, ironically...
And get self-empowered by coming to... Come to it. Don't let your ass... Because I remember people going, these people who tell the truth all the time. they used to go in the white knights or these white hats. They'd be like, well, we can't talk about this because the dark will take our predictions and use it against us. And I'm going... Well, so then get a little dark and start setting up false addiction, prediction. Well, that's what I would do. It's like, because you got to learn to play with what is and still have integrity. Because you can still have integrity when you're authentic. Because I'll tell you, I'm a thief, I'm a drug addict, but the nanny gigs that I have, ask mm-hmm. anyone. They leave their children with me. They leave money on the counter. Because the truth is, I'm not a thief anymore. I don't need to. It doesn't serve me anymore. But I'll tell you, if everything goes, you know, haywire and the whole world, you know, we go into some sort of economic collapse, and I mean financially. I don't think for a minute, you know, I wouldn't hang out behind Scott, who has all his laser guns, and, you know, like, go next door and go, hey, we need some SpaghettiOs. You got some SpaghettiOs? Give them up.
That's good, Goldie.
Hey, listen, I want to welcome Kevin Gonzalez to the show. We love you, Kevin. I'm so glad you're here.
So, is he there?
Yeah, I saw him on Facebook, and he came over. So he's listening through the phone, so.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello, Kevin.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I get it. I'm on a soapbox tonight. I'm on a soapbox lately all the time. It is fun, right, Auntie? And Janine keeps me in line going, Goldie, you can be. That's what she tells me after the shows when I go, Janine, was I too rough on them? And she goes, Goldie, you got clout. And I'm like, okay, right on, right on.
No, because you are.
Well, it is who I am, and I'll tell you, I have no guilt about it. I admit it. And that's not to say I'm not still playing around and learning. Of course I'm playing around and learning, but I am playing around and learning about self-empowerment. I can tell you, well, I was going to talk about this tonight. I'm going to save it for next week. But
Really?
The shape-shifting.
All right.
Yeah, because... I guess I could just. I thought it said 45. It actually says 35.
Okay.
Okay. So yeah, I have time. I'll talk about it now. I didn't want to. You know. Anyways. Okay. So here was something that came to my awareness as well. Okay. When I was younger, and I was dating, it was very obvious to me that I used to call myself a professional chameleon, in that whoever I was dating, I would take in their qualities. I could become the perfect girlfriend because I was becoming them. So if they liked basketball, I learned basketball. You know, the foods they liked, I would learn, you know, how to prepare those foods or where I could buy those foods. You know, meaning I would just – it was a very interesting thing because I used to say, I'm losing my identity. This was after drugs and all that, and I started my sober relationships and talking with therapists and stuff, I was like, I lose my identity with people. Well, since going dodecahedron, this is what I have now revealed, that I am a shapeshifter. And when I shapeshift, when I'm talking, and it doesn't matter if I'm talking to somebody on the computer, like Simon, who's half a planet away or half a star away, or Janine, or somebody standing in front of me, when I have intended to be in relationship with anybody, without even trying, I become that person, and I'm very empathic to that person. And it's funny because I don't even know this. It's most of the time them telling me, wow, like, you know, you just read my mind. And I'm like going, all right, cool, man. That's cool. But in my awareness, I started realizing that when I'm shape-shifting the people in my life, what's actually happening is who they are, it's like an imprint is left on me. And it's the best way to describe it was, remember the show Heroes? I don't know if you've ever seen that show, Janine.
No,
it was on
CBS.
It was
I
all about people.
It.
Well, right, it was all about people having different powers, that were very organic in the sense of somebody had fire, but somebody also healed and. Somebody could walk through walls, you know, very much like the X-Men, same premise as the X-Men, where everybody, basically the same premise of where we're living, but really emphasized from Hollywood. So there was one character in Heroes that every person he touched, or it might have been he killed, I don't remember so much, but he would take on their gift. Well, it hit me that when I shapeshift with people, I don't kill them, but I take on their gift. But and there's, of course, another side to this. And I also leave my essence with them. So there is, at least from my perspective, from my end, I'm becoming conscious of this. Like Janine, I'll be honest with you guys, when I connect with Janine, I experience unconditional love inside of me. And it's Janine that is sharing, and she doesn't share this with me necessarily through her words, it's her essence. Because shape-shifting isn't about the verbal communication, not that it's not there as well, but I'm telling you, I'm experiencing it energetically from a template. It's like, because when I'm on the phone with Janine, the answers and the visions and the way I process and come to conclusions are very much through the unconditional love. And it's like, oh, wow, and like Dennis, when I'm on the phone with Dennis, I'm very conscious of a confidence I have in myself, because Dennis is very confident in himself. And so all of a sudden it was this understanding that, so the shape-shifting is a gift, because, I mean, it's like, you know, going around the universe picking up essences and experiencing them for myself. It's interesting, because like with Scott, one of the essences I get from him is the wiring of his autism it's becoming entrained in my wiring is changing, because and it was interesting because Punky said to me, when you sleep with somebody, there's a lot of like energetics going on in our sleep that are very intermingling, especially literally if you're in the same bed. But I would imagine even if you're in the same house, and right. Even better, I don't even think space matters, because I would say if you're loving somebody and you have a long distance relationship, all of this, remember, is beyond space and time. So
yeah.
You know, because I can tell you, me and Simon have had numerous occasions where I get literally a feeling, a physical sensation in my body, and simultaneously he gets a physical sensation in his body. I found it very interesting too, Simon. So all of a sudden, instead of me losing my identity, which is what that was the perception when I was younger. Now I'm exploring my identity by shape-shifting with the people that I get close to. And let me tell you, I think it happens as an audience to me, as a group consciousness, because why wouldn't it? You know, I'm definitely relating with you guys, and especially when I can see you in the chat room. But like Art and Susan, I know you guys are out there, and I love you, and I just feel it. You know, I feel you guys, and I'm influenced, and I'm not afraid of that influence. In fact, I'm not only not afraid of it, I am fascinated with it. I mean, just fascinated with it. And so all of a sudden it hit me that this was one of the most, I flipped it. I mean, I flipped this belief, because I can remember sitting in therapist office going, I lose myself, and it was this thing I had to fight. You know, it's like...
Right.
And I'm telling you, it's a natural thing.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right?
Yeah, that you flipped it and you see it so differently now. You know.
Well, because vulnerability became strength.
Yeah, no, but that makes so much sense to me, that the gift, which, of course, I think we can all relate to this, that our earlier gifts were seen as weaknesses or something wrong, or, oh, that's not good, or, you know, you've got to control that or that, you know, and now look at it's actually your gift. And I think that that's an incredible way. I mean, for me, it's very similar to the Greg Braden water drop, no dodecahedron, now it's the center of the star Earth. This topic to me is another one of those, ooh, that's really good.
Yeah. Well, and I can promise you, whatever you're, if you think to yourself, you know, what's the thing that's haunted you? Here's the funny part about it. You're not changing that which haunts you. What you're changing is your perception of it.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Exactly.
That's what makes it so powerful.
But that's pretty much everything that's going on in terms
that's
of
true.
What we're talking about. Our feelings are completely our welcome mats. They are the callings that, you know, that we're calling ourselves to pay attention to something that's a treasure for us. And all our lives, what we were haunted by as isn't good, actually is our strength and is, you know, your what you thought was the chameleon-like thing is now you're seeing as a strength of the shapeshifter and the empathic and the, just the seeing in and the seeing out and the the feeling in and the feeling out, you know. And it struck me that, you know, Goldie sends me so many good things, and I'm good with the film recommendations, and she's great with what she sends me.
The videos.
Right. But the Carolyn Mace newsletter, because as you're talking, I'm going, oh, in that Carolyn Mace newsletter, on November 21st, it was We Breathe Together, and it talks about this. It almost describes what you're describing to me, and how she talked about how as we progress and get this stuff and flip the belief systems and let go of the dog fences that, you know, literally.
Well, and the I'm my worst enemy thought.
I'm my worst enemy, and I'm my best friend, and there's nothing about myself I should fear. You know, my feelings are my signposts, you know, go with it. But she talks about how as we progress along, that the firewall between the mind and the soul just kind of
there
goes away.
There
and
it
I
is.
Love, I know, and I love that idea that you no longer have a firewall up. You know, you're really tapping right into the soul, and for me, that would be that little tiny spot in the heart, which you know, the unconditional love probably or not probably, but you know, is right coming from that little tiny spot that's undetectable by third dimensional machinery. But so as Goldie's talking, I'm going, oh, the firewall, it's the firewall, the firewall's down. And so it's great. It's great conversation tonight. Great conversation.
Oh, right on. Back at you. Everything, the energy feels really, it feels imbalanced. You know, it's so funny because as I become aware of this whole shape-shifting thing, it's so funny because I can feel that you guys listening are, the way you're taking it, there's an openness, there's a reception, you know, because it's funny because, you know, I realized, I said, oh, am I being too hard? And then that feeling went right away, right? It just left.
Right,
it was like, you know, and that's a telltale sign that because, you know, we're all looking for the roadmap, so to speak. You know, as soon as we went dodecahedron, even before that, of course, but depending on how sensitive, you know, because I get that. I think the more sensitive we are, the bigger our field is. And, you know, it was interesting, like the family that I'm working for today, this new family, Aki, the oldest girl, has a sensitivity to taste. And like she won't eat the little baby carrots in the little bags. And
oh,
I laughed.
Really?
I went, well, that's interesting because I've read on Facebook that, you know, they're filled with, I don't know, all sorts of shit. You know, who knows what the hell these people are doing. But she can taste it. And her mother goes, and so I just trust her. You know, I don't make her eat it. And I was like, well, isn't that a beauty? You know, like, I mean, Janine knows how important this is to me. Her mother listens to her kid. She's in tune that her kid's in tune. Even though me and the mom, I'm like going, I live on SpaghettiOs. I don't know the difference. It's just, I don't, look to have that sensitivity. I love that I have a sensitivity of a young man that needs help crossing the road and the hawk that's 75 feet up. Because, again, I think this is about balance. I don't think, literally, I don't believe we have to be 100% aware of all things going on, quote-unquote, that are looking to, you know, make us sick. I think if we have a balance of that in our being, because I can tell you, I've done drugs, I've eaten crappy foods pretty much my entire life, and I just don't believe that I'll get cancer. My death will be a conscious one, and I also don't believe that I'll I won't be like sick and bedridden because of the choices I've made. Because my awareness of the hawk and the gentleman, it's almost like it's like a ticket to, you can play in the matrix. Because this is another thing about the flipping of beliefs. Me and Janine were talking about it. As I become self-empowered, I literally start getting the understanding that I can play in the matrix and actually have the matrix work for me, instead of working against me. Because
that's another flipping of belief system too, because the whole prisoner, we are prisoner mentality, and the matrix has you. It only has you if you believe it has you, and you're only a prisoner if you believe you're a prisoner, or, you know what I mean? So I believe that that's when it does flip, and it's like, no, you know, that's not how it's working for me, you know?
Exactly. It's not, and that's the thing. It's really about. So I mean, if you look at it, the way I see it is, everything's inverted, and a mirror. So the way most of us were conditioned to believe, this would be the visual I would use. This is what our conditioning tells us, that we see everything outside. There's us. There's a window, and then there's a mirror. Okay, so the way we're conditioned to believe is the mirror is where all our answers lie.
Right.
So it's outside of us, and what we're seeing is it's the reflection, and so it's backwards. And in actuality, if you think about it,
be upside down.
Exactly what I was getting at, exactly. Because remember, the mind turns things right side up, but the optical nerve or whatever actually sees it upside down. So again, why does the mind turn it right side up? Because we've been conditioned to do that. That is a hypnotic response to the conditioning. So once we are aware of that, okay, well, that certainly explains why I smoke cigarettes to feel relaxed. Or it explains why I go to bars and drink heavily and have sex with men I don't know to feel love.
Right.
You know, because it's upside down and backwards. It's the conditioning. So when we get a handle on that, there's no need. I mean, I get it. You're allowed to be whatever you want to be. You can be pissed off at the powers that be. You can do whatever you want. But I'll tell you, ultimately, the self-empowerment simply goes, okay, well then, so can I change that? And unequivocally, yes, you can. And when you see things exactly as they are, not from the mirror and not outside the window, but literally inside of you, the powers that be can't touch you. They can put you in a prison. They can kill you. They can drug you. They can do the crap in the sky. They can do the crap to the carrots. You got them by the balls. And I'll tell you, from a person who loves a challenge, having the powers that be by the balls is something I live for. And in all honesty, I'm happy to die for. Truly, because what's death? Getting the fuck out of Dodge? Okay, sign me up. Truly. Oh, sorry, Skating Angel. You came in just when I was, you know, on my little rant. So that you know, I again, can't emphasize it enough. This is the truth of where we are. We are at the dodecahedron. Look for it. Play with it. Trust it. And come back next week on the show. You can be in the chat room or call us up. Share with us. Share with us, because there's a momentum. All of us. Thank you, Skating. there's a momentum that the more of us that are willing to risk our old belief systems for new ones, the more and more others will start jumping off their own, you know, mountains and their own rooftops so that they can learn they can fly too. You know, that's... thanks, Dennis.
I love skating Angel ran away. That was great.
Well, she came in as soon as the F word came out.
That was very good.
No, well, it's so much fun. I love sharing with you guys. And, you know, definitely. And we haven't had callers in a while. I purposely set up the little chat room so I could see the calls. Because you guys are absolutely welcome to come on. I'm not saying that me and Janine can't take care of the whole 2 hours. I think you clearly get we can take care of the whole 2 hours.
Right.
You know.
No, I love tonight. You know, it's good.
Yeah, right
on. I love those two. I'm just gonna, you know, leave with those two good things: the shape shifting and the dodecahedron thing. I love that.
Right on. Right on.
And where
right
we are, where we are, that all is in a dodecahedron. I love that.
Well, Kevin's coming on. All right, Kev, you got like 2 minutes, love. You're on the air, though, babe.
Hey. Hello?
Hello?
Hi there.
Okay, great. What's up, guys? I hear an echo, but we'll about that. I just wanted to thank you guys.
You're welcome.
You're very welcome. I'm glad you came.
I'm glad to be here. Glad to listen to you guys. I'm so happy that when you were talking about the darkness and you were talking about the respect you have for it, man, that really touched me because I even felt a negativity coming up inside of me because it was a resistance of no, because I was lacking that respect for the dark, and just listening to you explain it the way you did dissolved it. To the point where I really do feel an even greater respect than I ever have before of the dark.
Right on! Boy, if you had to come and get something, I would say, you know, you got the mother load.
and now it's so great, you're echoing.
Exactly,
oh, yeah,
that's how big you are. You're so big, you're echoing.
You're so big, you're echoing. Like, a giant mountain.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
No, you're in the cave.
Awesome.
Listen, wherever you are, that is really a huge breakthrough, Kev. A huge breakthrough because these are the awarenesses. And I'll tell you, once you have that, know that it's like the Legos. You know, I'm such a nanny. You're building your Lego person. You know,
right.
Every piece matters. And build on that piece to the next piece that ultimately the action is being experienced. Because, you know what I'm saying? Momentum plays such a key role in this that inevitably there's no thinking each individual thought, you know, I must release, I must do this.
Mm-hmm.
It just becomes a whole blended experience that we're not plugged in anymore. We're clearly, genuinely becoming aware of our own power and our own essence, and Mother Nature is literally guiding us every step of the way. That, and you know, because when I tell you that the changes have only just begun, that we, you know, this is only December 21st is definitely not the end. I mean, it is the beginning, and you know, in my humble opinion. It'll never end, but
90 seconds.
But it will change dramatically. So let's be prepared. Let's be prepared and, you know, look it all in the eye and flip at the bird and go, "Hell fucking yeah!"
Yep, I'm with you guys.
I love it. I'm so glad you're with us, babe, because you rock.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, I'm gonna put you on hold. Don't hang up. I just want to make sure Janine gets her
60 seconds.
Her contact information out before we go before the stream goes off. So I really appreciate you being here, Kev.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, guys. Have a great night. Thank you.
Thank you, love.
So,
okay. So where can people find you, baby?
Sorry. So I have a website, jlkimmel.com, K-I-M-M-E-L. And I have a new book out called The Yawning Rabbit River Chronicles. So take a look at that, and you can find me on Facebook.
Absolutely. And just so you guys know, another reality show this week, I had Daniel Jacobs scheduled. I got a nanny gig, as I said earlier, every night this week, so we niched that. And the beautiful part was Daniel is actually going to do December 10th, which is the Monday. Janine will be in Ireland. So it'll, you know, come back. It'll be the Monday night, 8 to 10, and it'll be Daniel doing the third installation. I know I went out. The third installation of his portals and working the energy in the portals. So, I have some other interviews coming up. Chuck Gallagher is coming up. Alana's coming up. And, of course, there'll always be more Janine and me coming up, too.
Yep, and I'll be here next week, and then the following week I'll be in Ireland.
I know, you guys have to keep me company while Janine's gone. I'll be sitting in my darkness going, yes, I must take this. No, I'll connect with her in Ireland and fly with her. All right, I love you guys. I love you, Janine.
I love you guys. But thanks, Goldie. I love you, too.
Outstanding night. Outstanding. So thank you, everybody. Until next week, fly high, fly fast. Just fly.
Fly, fly.
Just fly. And fly, fly. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Okay.
Love you all. Gotta go.
Bye.